he said that something that's in these days, maybe it's the parashiyot that we're reading, it definitely is.
So with our avodah plus with the parashiyot together, it's able to purge us and make us holier. He actually said the main tikkun of this avodah is in a leap year, is in a shana me'uberet. We also know that in the holy books, anytime we refer to Kiddusha, we always refer to the number 6. Why is number 6 and Kiddusha related? So we know that there's 7 primary Saddiqim. We invite them to our Sukkah and Sukkot, if you remember. And they are, of course, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aharon, Yosef, David, Shlomo. Yosef being the 6th of the Tzaddikim. So therefore, Yosef, who himself displayed a tremendous amount of Kedusha, as we saw when he was in Mitzrayim, so he becomes the symbol of Kedusha. As a matter of fact, if we would want to refer to the Midah of Yosef, in the holy books, and I'm not so adept in explaining exactly, you know, the words, but there is a word that you've probably heard called Yesod. All I know is that Yesod means a foundation. So that means if Avraham is Chesed, and Yitzhak is Gevura, and Yaakov is Tiferet, and Moshe and Aharon, and Netzach and Hod, whatever those words mean. But I don't need to know what those words mean today. I need to know what Yosef means. He means Yesod. Yesod means the foundation. You don't need to be so smart to know that everything is dependent on the Yesod. If you're building a building, if your foundation is good, you could build a strong building on top. If your Yesodot are weak, so anything that you're going to build upon it is going to collapse. So if we want to build a healthy Judaism, so it depends on how our Yesod is. So the Midah Yosef actually is very, very significant. The question is, how do we build Yesod? So I'd like to say something that I think is quite practical. Nothing that's in the air or too esoteric, but something that's actually practical if we're interested in building Yesod. I made an observation. We just read Parashat Mishpatim, which incidentally is the 6th parasha of Shuvavim. So I think the 6th parasha of this series clearly would have the secret of the Yesod. In the 6th parasha, it has to hint to us what the foundation is. And to my good fortune, I think I found it. B'si'ata d'shmaya. I made the following observation. You know, Parashat Mishpatim is loaded with Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Batra. No less than 42 Mishpatim. But for some reason, the Parashat begins with the laws of Avdut, Eved. Eved Ivri, Eved Kana'ani. Well, if you'd asked me, I would have said that I might not have started with such a rare law. I mean, I don't know how common Eved Ivri was and Eved Kana'ani was. Although I'm sure it existed, but it cannot be more common than the Mishpatim that follow it. Why would the Torah begin with it? So if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said it's not the highlight of the parasha. Eved Ivri and Eved Kanani is not the main theme of Parashat Mishpatim. After all, the name of the parasha is Mishpatim, the civil law. But I have to confess that I am wrong. It was a fair mistake, because the rule is, if you want to know what the main theme of the Haftarah, of the parasha is, look at the Haftarah. The Haftarah will always hone in on the main theme of the parasha. That's a rule. You see, in the olden days, the Goyim made a gezerah that we can't read the parasha in public. So the Hachamim didn't want to forget the parasha, So they chose a chapter in the prophets that is similar and captures the main idea of the parasha, and we'll read that, and it's a zecher. The problem is, in most years, we do not read the normal haftarah for Parashat Mishpatim. Because in most years, Parashat Mishpatim falls out during Parashat Shekalim, and therefore the main haftarah is pushed to the side so we can read the haftarah of Shekalim. And if it's not Shekalim, usually it's Erev Rosh Chodesh, and we read the parasha of Mahar Chodesh, or we read the parasha of Rosh Chodesh. So it's a very, very rare parasha. Maybe we read it every, you know, 4 or 5 years. This year we read it. It actually comes from the book of Yirmiyah, and it's the 34th chapter. You could see it in your Humashim. The whole Haftarah talks about one topic. How God tells the prophet Yirmiyah that the Jewish people have Eved, Abadim, and they have to free them. So the Jewish people freed them. But then after, they couldn't do without those slaves, so they took them back. So God says, I gave you a covenant of telling you to free slaves when you came out of Egypt. And you listened to me temporarily, and then you took them back. And then God tells the prophet Yirmiyah, go tell them that there's going to be a great consequence for not listening to the law of Shiluah Abadim. Not one mishpat is mentioned in the Haftarah. It only talks about Abadim and freedom. So that tells me that the main part of the parasha of Mishpatim must be the law of Abadim. But this Haftarah becomes even more of a mystery. I don't know if you paid attention that the last pasuk of the Haftarah actually does not come from Yirmiyah Lamidalid. It comes from another chapter in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah Lamid Gimal. The last pasuk of the Haftarah says, Imlo biriti yomam valayla, hukot shamayim va'ares, losamti. If it wasn't for this biriti, this covenant of yomam v'layla, which is the Torah, v'agita v'yomam v'layla, hukot shamayim va'ares losamti, God said, I would not have created the world, or the systems of the world would cease to exist. I don't want to get into the halakhic issue of it, but it's a big debacle amongst the hachamim. In the rules of Haftarah, we're not allowed to go backwards. The rule of Haftarah is you cannot go l'mafreya. I mean, for that reason, Maimonides Harambam learned that in this Haftarah, you go forward. You're supposed to read Perek Lamed Dalet and Lamed He. Don't go backwards. So some of the rabbis say, well, you're allowed to go backwards, l'mafreya, retroactively, if it has to do with the subject. If it's germane to the topic, you can go backwards. You can read l'mafreya. What in the world is Imlo biriti yomam v'alayla hokot shamayim v'ares lo samti, which is talking about learning Torah? What does it got to do with Shiluah Abadim? How is that germane? So I'd like to say the following reconciliation to that question. I found in the Pirush of Rabbeinu Avraham, Beno Shel HaRambam, he explains why the main theme of Parashat Mishpatim is Shiluah Abadim. He says because the Torah is the biggest proponent of freedom. Remember, it is the Boreh that turned the world upside down in order to take us out of Egypt. Because the Torah is not for slavery. The Torah's ultimate purpose is to give a person freedom. That's what God wills. That's what God desires. And that's why even when the Eved Ivri wants to extend his stay, he receives a punishment. They pierce his ear as if, didn't you hear the will of God? God is not interested in Abadim. God wills Herut. And therefore the Torah wants to make sure that the reader understands that the Torah is into giving a person freedom. Hirut. However, he says, how is it that a Jew receives freedom? Our freedom is not freedom of the body. It's freedom of the soul. You see, the soul actually, the neshama, is in captivity in the body. But if we'd have a way to move the body aside a little and let the neshama flourish, we would be able to reach tremendous levels that are even beyond the simple levels of human capacity. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, "En lecha ben chorin ela mi she'osek b'Torah." That freedom can only come to those that have committed themselves to the study of the Torah. What that means is that the Torah puts the body on the side and speaks to the soul, and now the soul is able to reach tremendous levels. It is the Torah that brings a person to his true essence. Instead of being like everybody else that becomes subservient to his bodily needs and his bodily wills and his bodily desires, Torah is able to overcome the body and its interference and connect the person to his soul, and therefore he's able to reach tremendous madrigot. You know, they tell stories of the great tzaddikim. Yosef HaTzaddik, he was in prison the night before he met Paro. And Gabriel came to visit him, the Malach. And in one night, the angel was able to teach Yosef HaTzaddik 70 languages. 70 languages in one night. Even Rosetta Stone doesn't claim that they could do such a feat. How does somebody have the capacity to understand and retain 70 languages in one night, let alone teach it? But yeah, man, Gabriel's an angel, so I don't have questions on him. He could teach it. But to comprehend it and to understand it, and the explanation is that since Yosef is a free man, Yosef is not bound by the bodily pleasures and desires and attraction. That means his yesod is strong. When the yesod is strong, then already the neshama is able to comprehend and to remember and to retain unlimited amount of information. When the yesod is good, then the memory and the aptitude becomes much more amplified. I once saw a derasha. You know, those that study Torah is compared to a lot of beverages. Torah is compared to water. Another Gemara compares the Torah to wine. Torah is compared to honey. The Torah is compared to milk. Devash. There's a lot of different analogies to beverages. So somebody once said that you can call a Tamid Hacham Sara Mashkim. He's the Sara Mashkim. He's the Sar of the Mashkim. He's the one that's the general in charge of the Mashkim. So the Darshanim say on the Pasuk, Velo Zachar Sara Mashkim et Yosef. If the Sara Mashkim does not remember Yosef, if his yesod is not grounded, vayishkachehu, he'll forget his Torah. Remembering our Torah and reaching high levels is dependent on yesod. So Yosef was able to reach these great levels. One time on a Shabbat, Rabbeinu Ari was taking a nap, and one of his students stood over him, and he saw that when the Arizal was napping, his lips were moving. So when the Arizal came out of his nap, the student said, "Rebbe, I saw your lips were moving." What? He said, "Well, when I was sleeping, they took me to the upper worlds, and they were teaching me some Torah on the Parashat HaShavua." So he said, Could the rabbi tell me over? He said, it'll take me 70 years to teach you what they just taught me in the Shamayim and during this nap. Where did the Arizal get this capacity that in a few minute nap he's able to fathom 70 years of Torah in such a small amount of time? Again, these tzaddikim, their body was not in control. So when they studied Torah, the Torah entered in a different concentration, at a different level. Zachor b'shamor, in the Ten Commandments of Shabbat, and the Gemara says, Kol shi yishno b'shemira yishno b'zechira. Whoever is obligated in the Shamor, in the negative commandments, is obligated in the Zechira, the positive commandment. But the Darshanim say, Kol shi yishno b'shemira, if a person is shomer himself, he keeps himself in a level of Kiddushah that his Yesod is strong. The Shemira of Kiddushah brings him to the Zechira of Torah. But now to the details. Now that we're almost convinced that Yesod is worth our effort into establishing it, it'll enhance our study, it'll give us a better memory of Torah, we'll have better aptitude. The question is, then what do we have to do? Well, if you look in the beginning of the parasha, when it talks about freeing the slaves by the Amma, the pasuk says, Lo tetze ketze ta'avadim. When you free the Jewish slave, it says, Lo tetze ketze ta'avadim. Do not free the Jewish slave like other slaves. The Shia Kadosh says, who are the other slaves that we're talking about? Eved Kena'ani, Sheyotze B'Shen Ve'ayin. Jewish slaves don't go out B'Shen Ve'ayin. Shen is the tooth, the ayin is the eye. Eved Kena'ani goes free B'Shen Ve'ayin. Our slaves do not. What is the depth? What is the message? I believe here lies two different cultures, the way we look at who a free person is. In American society, we have a constitution which is filled with Bill of Rights, which gives us freedoms and rights that we have and we're allowed to do. It's a country that is addicted to all sorts of freedoms. In the Eved Kena'ani world, he goes free. B'shen ve'ayin, to him freedom is freedom of his eyes to look at whatever he wants to look at. And Shen is his mouth to speak whatever he wants to speak, to talk whatever he wants to talk, to eat whatever he wants to eat. Shen ve'ayin represent the base of the body, the base of the physical. If you ask an Eved Kena'ani, what gives you freedom? Shen ve'ayin. And that's what you see society today. Society has no control over those areas. Whether it's the shen, what comes into a person's mouth, what comes out of a person's mouth. Even if it might be kosher food, but the gluttony. Freedom is in the shen. In the ayin for sure today. But the Torah says, Lo tetze ketze ta'abadim. In Judaism, the Jewish slave, which is the slave of God, lo tetzei ketzei ta'abadim. Our freedom is not freedom of shen ve'ayin. Our freedom is in the study of Torah. On the contrary, it is the control of shen ve'ayin. When a person is careful on what he looks at and what he sees, what he speaks, what he eats. There's proofs to this. Do you think it's a coincidence that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to the Shamayim for 40 days and 40 nights, he was not allowed, he didn't eat. It seems that to become great in Torah, there's a connection. Now, I don't want to ruin your Rosh Chodesh meal. You ate already anyway. And I'm not talking about Seudat Mitzvah, and nor am I telling you that you shouldn't eat. I'm actually telling you you should eat three meals a day. We're talking about over here something else. The gluttony, the glamorization of the food and drink that we have in our generation. We cannot deny that there is a direct connection between what comes into our mouths, what we ingest, and our level of Torah. When it comes to ayin, well, I don't think we have to talk too much explicitly. We all know the value of Shemirat Ha'inayim. But to the Eved Kena'ani, he wants to look at what he wants to look at, and he wants to eat what he wants to eat, and speak what he wants to speak. And if you take those away from him, he can't function. Eved Kena'ani yotzeh lecherut b'shen v'ayin. And that's what you see a lot of Eved Kena'anis running around today. B'shen v'ayin. That's where they manifest their freedom. But B'nei Yisrael, it's only through the study of Torah. The study of Torah brings us freedom of the body. Maimonides writes that if one is interested in relieving himself from all foreign thoughts, he says foreign thoughts can only occupy a hollow mind that is not occupied with wisdom. But if a person is walking in the streets and he's pondering the Talmud that he's learned, and he's pondering the Mishnah, and he's pondering the question of the Tosafot, and the question of the Nishonim and the Aharonim, and he's trying to polish a sevara in his mind, a mind that's filled with such holiness, there's no room. There's no room for other things. V'habor rek en bo mayim. The Pasuk says when the bor, which is the cavity of the brain, v'habor rek, when it's empty, en bo mayim, en mayim ela Torah. Well, if there's no water in the brain, meaning Torah, nechashim v'akrabim yeshbo, then something else will occupy it, namely snakes and scorpions, nechashim v'akrabim. And try it. Try to immerse yourself in learning, which Baruch Hashem, the guys over here in the yeshiva are doing, at a great level, at a laudable level, at a very complimentary level, and you should be praised for that. And then you start to, the other things don't become so important. The Baal HaTurim in the parasha, I recommend you learn Baal HaTurim. It's an amazing thing what this great rabbi did. Without the use of a computer or a concordance, he would always cross-reference similar words that he would find throughout Tanakh. So in this parasha, he says, Lo tetzeh ketzeta abadim. He says, I found that lashon ketzet two other times. Ketzet Hashemesh b'gburato and Ketzet Moshe el ha'ohel. He makes a connection between the three Ketzets. Actually, I once saw from the great rabbi from Babov, the Kedushat Zion, he explained the Ketzet like this, although it's not connected to what we're saying, but it's a beautiful derash nonetheless. The famous Gemara that says that the Goyim are going to come to God and say, you know, give us a chance to get reward. And God says, good, I'll give you an easy mitzvah. And if you fulfill this mitzvah, you'll get the reward. And what mitzvah does God give the goyim? Sukkah. And they go sit in the sukkah. And God takes out the sun on a very, very hot day. And the goyim leave the sukkah. Because they can't sit in the sukkah, it's too hot. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Mitzta'ir is patur. They're allowed to leave the sukkah. He says, yeah, they're allowed to leave, but on the way out, they kicked the sukkah. They shouldn't have kicked it. So the Kiddushat Zion says, Ketzet Moshe el ha'ohel. When the Jewish people go into the ohel, into the sukkah, Ketzet Hashemesh b'gburato. And when the sun comes out sweltering, they have to leave the sukkah, Lo tetzeh ketzet ha'abadim. Don't leave like the Ayavid leaves and kicks the sukkah. Leave with a heavy heart. That's where he learned it. But Beshut, the Talmidim, me and the Rabbanim, I'd like to throw my own two cents into this mix and explain the Baal HaTurim as follows. Ketzet HaShemesh B'Gburato. When the person has the passion and the desire is Ketzet HaShemesh, he feels the Yetzer Hara is very strong in him. Ketzet HaShemesh. The Yetzer Hara comes into him like a fiery storm. Ketzet Hashem is begburato in all its might. So the Torah says, Lo tetze ketzet abadim. Do not go out like Eved Kenani b'shen v'ayin. Do not give in to the shen and the ayin. Lo tetze ketzet abadim. At that point, our solution is Ketzet Moshe ila ohel. Moshe Rabbeinu would go into ohel to study Torah, to talk to God. That's the way we mitigate Ketzet Hashemesh. And that might explain why the main part of the parasha was freedom. Because the Torah is telling us, I took you out of Egypt to be free. And that's why in the Haftarah it mentions the freedom of slaves, so we could learn how important it is to God. But then the Haftarah has to tell you something that is very germane. How do we become free? Im lo b'riti yomam v'layla hokot shamayim v'ares lo samti. That's teaching a Jew how to become Herut. One must occupy his brain with the study of Torah and one must learn. That's how you build Yesod. Yesod is built by learning, by committing yourself to the study of Torah, through Hatmadah, through diligence. Only in a bored mind, in a hollow mind, do these other attractions creep in? And therefore, my message today on Rosh Chodesh, in a regular year, the yeshiva now would be 2 weeks before Purim. Historically, 2 weeks before Purim, the yeshivas start to dwindle. You know, Rosh Chodesh Adar already is the... I once said that, you know, every holiday needs 30 days of preparation. So Ben Azmanim also has a 30-day preparation on Rosh Chodesh Adar. And we start learning the Hilchot Ben Azmanim 30 days before. But in a year like this where we have an extra month, so that puts everything out. And that gives us another chance during this month, which is the 2 weeks, especially now to Terumat Tetzaveh, which is part of the Tikkun, during the Shana Me'uberet. It gives us an opportunity to recommit ourselves, especially in the next 2 weeks, until at least Purim Katan, at least, to commit ourselves to our Limudim, to commit ourselves to learning Be'omek with our minds, and not only when we're in the yeshiva, but that it should occupy our minds even when we're in the street. And then we build Yesod. And then you'll start to see our learning becomes amplified. Now we're able to accomplish more and remember more and understand more. Like the Hasidim Rishonim that prayed 9 hours a day. And the Gemara wants to know, well, when did they learn? But it said, well, the little learning that they did stuck with them. Because when the Yesodot are strong, there's a Beracha. And it is my blessing that the great energy that's in the yeshiva should continue. And now's not a time, just because you heard the word Adar, to become weakened in the study. On the contrary, make believe, again, the word Adar psychologically sets off something in the brain. This is Adar Rishon. It's not Adar Sheni. And Adar Sheni will give you a different speech why you should learn in Adar Sheni. But now in Adar Rishon, at least, until we start getting a little closer, now's not a time to let down our learning degrees. We have to ramp it up. And then Be'ezat Hashem, once already the tikkun of Yosef is made, right after the Yesod, the next box on that chart is called Malchut. Once Yosef was able to establish his Yesod, the next step is becomes a Melech. And that's our wish as well. Not that any of us are trying to become kings, but Man Malchei Rabbanan. The scholars, the Jewish scholar is a Melech. Once he establishes a strong foundation, then he's able to enter that realm of Man Malched Rabbanan. And I believe that you fellas are on that path, and I wish you well, and I will take this opportunity again to wish you Chodesh Tov Umeborach.